Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Things are seldom what they seem. Skim milk masquerades as cream. Talking about? Well, it's a line from the comic opera by Gilbert and Sullivan called the HMS Pinafore, or The Lass That Loved a Sailor, that among other things pokes fun at the rise of unqualified people to positions of authority. And that was back in 1878, and it's still a problem today, huh? Well, one song between the Captain and Buttercup include those lines, and I've always thought of them and how they apply to just about everything in life. Taking it literally, imagine when you go to someone's home and they serve you a cup of coffee and offer cream and sugar already in a sugar bowl and creamer. And I always wonder, is it in fact cream in that creamer? Or is it skim milk masquerading as cream? But anyway, this radio program kind of embodies that message in that we must educate ourselves, speak up, and make informed choices. So why am I talking about music from a comedic opera? Well, last week, I accompanied someone to their doctor appointment at one of Cleveland's biggest hospital systems. While waiting in the exam room, I read the posters on the wall, and I nearly jumped out of my skin when I read this one that stated, "Vaccines, one of the era's greatest health achievements. The blankety-blank hospital supports vaccination for many reasons." The first bullet point said, "Strong science." The second point stated, "Potent weapon." And I am actually quite shocked by the choice of the word weapon. Do they mean that vaccines are potent weapons? How should I take that one? The third bullet point states, "No autism link." Wow, which after doing much research, I have no idea how they can unequivocally state that. Next, they say, "Adverse effects are rare." And I say, what constitutes an adverse effect? And who gets to decide how adverse an effect is for me personally? Oh, here's a good one. The Hippocratic Oath. Physicians are, and in bold letters, it says, obligated professionally to promote vaccination. Physicians are obligated professionally to promote vaccination. Really? The Hippocratic Oath I know says, do no harm. So I guess I don't get that one either. Well, as I stood there and yelled at the poster on the wall, I asked out loud, I wonder how many people simply read this and believe it because here it is in writing on the wall of their doctor's office. No questions asked. No thought, probably. And on the other wall was a chart of the vaccine lineup beginning at birth. Wow, a stunning array. Nonstop injecting of who knows what for what reason. But their poster has an answer for that one, too. They insist in black, bold letters, No evidence supports the claim that multiple vaccines overwhelm the immune system. They say children are exposed to thousands of non-vaccine-related antigens every day. Well, now, I am not a wizard, but the gaping holes in that statement are as wide as the Grand Canyon, and I've been there, so I know how wide that is. That is unreal. Can you imagine the financial liability they will have if we ever reach the day when the truth reaches the masses? Goodbye, hospital. Wow. So the blankety-blank hospital supports vaccinations for many reasons. However, I didn't see anything on the poster about the massive amount of money that is made. It sounds like a darn good reason to me. So this got me to thinking once again about vaccines, and it caused me to vividly remember as a kid walking to the local junior high school with my mom and grandmother and my brother to stand in line, a long line, to receive my vaccine sugar cube, inoculated with a pink stain of polio virus. Did my mom ask any questions? Or did she, like most, just line up and sign up? So, with the polio vaccine in my mouth, and now on my mind, I set out to research the whole subject and just have to share the findings with you because, my friend, things are seldom what they seem. Between World War II and the Vietnam War, doctors in the United States believed it was a good thing to medically experiment on disabled people, people in mental hospitals, and prisoners of the state. They would often say it was being done for the greater good. Plus, these people had no recourse and couldn't defend themselves legally, nor sign a consent form. These experiments included spraying pandemic flu virus up the noses of Maryland state prisoners. These experiments also included purposely giving mental patients in Connecticut hepatitis. And if that's not enough, in a New York hospital, doctors intentionally injected cancer cells into chronically ill people. Now, of course, there is the well-known Tuskegee study, where U.S. health officials observed over 500 African-American men in Alabama who were already suffering from syphilis, and while observing and tracking them, never gave them penicillin, even though it was readily available then. It was all about testing for cures, but at what cost? The federally funded study in 1942, where mental patients were injected with experimental flu vaccine, was co-authored by one Dr. Jonas Salk, who was given the label of polio vaccine inventor just 1 year later. But true medical history now reveals that Dr. Jonas Salk, the father of vaccines, did not cure polio, but actually created new strains and spread it with infected carriers. For the first half of the 20th century, it was believed that the poliomyelitis virus could not be grown in tissue cultures. But then in 1954, a group of Harvard scientists won the Nobel Prize for exactly that, growing the virus in tissue cultures. And because the virus requires living tissue for their development, these scientists used rhesus monkey kidneys, and Dr. Jonas Salk tested out his wild concoctions on the monkeys. Within months, five major pharmaceutical firms helped Salk conclude that the concoction could work for humans, and the formula was handed over to the Eli Lilly Company and Cutter Labs in Berkeley, California. Unfortunately, the formula was comprised of new strains of polio that Salk had helped create through wild experimentation, and this would soon be infecting the people that science-based medicine was supposed to be protecting from the very infectious disease they were getting injected by U.S. doctors and the new strains of it at that. Well, now, since most Americans are not educated in schools about how infectious diseases virtually disappeared and were no longer a pandemic type of threat by the time the vaccines were invented, millions of people accept vaccines and flu shots as safe and effective, or at least until someone in the family suffers chronic vaccine damage and they read about the truth from the true coverage that's been memory-holed from the mass media. Most viruses, though, especially when combined in the same inoculation, are highly unpredictable. And the theory of vaccines being safe goes out the window from the start. Dr. Salk simply removed the kidneys of rhesus monkeys, cut them up into minuscule pieces, and placed them into vials with his special nutrient solution. Then the genius scientist rocked the bottles for extended periods of time, as one would rock a baby, but with a mechanical machine. This was said to be the incubator for the virus that stimulated growth. The bottles were then chilled and shipped to laboratories to separate the kidney cells and dilute them with formaldehyde to weaken the virus. And the virus is injected into live monkeys, mice, and rabbits. Voila! Polio is announced to be cured 1 month later. And this is what was injected into millions of children. Once the multivirus combination enters the muscle tissue and blood of a human, the person can now shed the virus easily during the first 3 weeks via mucus and saliva. This is now a scientific fact. The polio virus inoculation is declared safe, potent, efficient, and early in 1955 released as the new miracle vaccine of the century all over the world. Immediately following the proclaimed prevention medicine for polio, the Foundation for Infantile Paralysis ran press releases in all forms of available media that Dr. Jonas Salk invented and tested this miracle drug. The foundation called for the manufacture of enough vaccines to inoculate over 9 million children and pregnant women. American press and radio declared victory for Salk and the greatest medical discovery of the century. But then came the disastrous news. Inoculated children began contracting polio. More and more cases were being reported by the day, including cases where parents and siblings of these inoculated children were contracting the disease, even when the inoculated child was not suffering. This was the carrier and the shedding effect that science would later discover that happens with measles, mumps, and polio alike. The vaccinated children became the new carriers, and Western medicine would blame anything else in the name of saving Big Pharma and the new reign of invasive, carcinogenic, immune-compromising, and neurologically impairing medicine. Then, on June 23rd of 1955, the American Public Health Service announced that there had been 149 confirmed cases of polio among the vaccinated, including 6 deaths. In most cases, the paralysis began in the limb which was injected. The number of cases was far greater than if no injections were given at all. Polio had struck in areas where there had been no cases reported for over 9 months. The vaccine was suspended, pending a full inquiry by the National Institute of Health. The majority of Americans believe, thanks to propaganda, that polio is one of the most serious of infectious diseases, when in fact it is actually the least serious. Most people incur mild infection lasting only a few days, and there is only one rare complication of the disease that destroys motor cells in the brain and spinal cord. But every government advertisement and warning uses paralysis as the scare tactic and fear-mongering coercion for people to accept vaccinations as safe and effective, or at least being safer than being paralyzed by a scary disease only medical doctors can supposedly understand and prevent. History shows us that human beings have very strong immune systems, even right from birth if given the proper nutrition, and it has never been proven scientifically that injection of a virus or combination of strains and viruses provides immunity in any way. Now, unfortunately, Salk created new strains by mixing multiple others with the monkey kidneys. His final guess at the vaccine was random, untested on humans, and never proven safe or effective. But still, on April 12th of 1955, the Salk polio vaccine launch took place on the 10th anniversary of President Franklin Roosevelt's death, and the Foundation for Infantile Paralysis told the world a big fat lie, using every possible means of publicity to spread the propaganda and catapult the vaccine industry as the new leader in medicine for infectious disease prevention. And America is still injecting untested polio vaccines into the muscle tissue and blood of hundreds of millions of Americans every year. Jonas Salk is famous because he is infamous. When the vaccine first came out, it caused deaths and a rise in polio cases. But that was covered up, and the word epidemic was redefined. The polio cases that weren't paralysis-related were diagnosed by U.S. doctors, calling it meningitis. That's right. An interesting side note concerning polio involves some shady behavior by the Centers for Disease Control. In 1958, after the introduction of the live polio vaccine, they changed the definition of polio. Cases of inflammation of the membrane that protects the brain and spinal neuron cells, causing muscular weakness and pain, but not paralysis, were no longer classified as polio. They were now referred to as aseptic meningitis, even if the polio virus was present. Reported cases of aseptic meningitis went from zero to thousands, and polio cases dropped the same amount. Then later in 1958, the CDC changed the definition of polio again. All cases with classic polio symptoms were to be called acute flaccid paralysis. And in 1960, the CDC triumphantly declared large parts of the world as polio-free, while this newly created acute flaccid paralysis mysteriously became quite common. So polio was assigned different names to hide the vaccine's ineffectiveness. Interesting concept, wouldn't you say? Want to declare a victory? Change the rules of the game. Therefore, the factors that caused the decline of polio after 1950 did not include the Salk miracle vaccine at all. In fact, the vaccine was one of the causes of the disease, and Salk himself later testified on that before a Senate subcommittee. He said that most of the polio outbreaks since 1961 were actually caused by Sabin's oral polio vaccine, which was a live strain versus Salk's that was a killed strain. Now, like me, you might remember the sugar cube inoculated with the pink polio virus. Large-scale vaccination is a failure, and nobody can review the statistics because the CDC scrubs them from the record. Several respected scientists now believe that the Salk and the Sabin vaccines could be responsible for the major increase in leukemia in the United States by combining and increasing strains, creating new forms of the disease using monkey kidneys. One of the largest and most devious medical scandals in the history of American medicine also concerns the polio vaccine. In an excellent history about the polio vaccine, Neil Miller shares the story of Dr. Bernice Eddy, a scientist at the National Institutes of Health, who in 1959 discovered that the polio vaccines being administered throughout the world contained an infectious agent capable of causing cancer. Her attempts to warn federal officials resulted in the removal of her laboratory and being demoted at the agency. It was only later that one of the nation's most famous vaccine developers, Maurice Heilmann at Merck, identified the agent as a cancer-causing monkey virus, SV40, common in almost all rhesus monkeys being used to culture the polio virus for the vaccine. This contaminant virus was found in all samples of the Sabin oral polio vaccine tested. The virus was also being found in the Salk's killed polio injectable vaccine as well. No one knows for certain how many Americans received the SV40 contaminated vaccines, but some estimates put the figure as high as 100 million people. That was greater than half the U.S. population in 1963 when the vaccine was removed from the market. Many Americans today, even many more around the world, continue to be threatened and suffer from the legacy of this legal vaccine. As Ty Bollinger states in an article titled "The Truth About Vaccinations, History and Hoax," he says, "Despite indisputable proof that vaccines do nothing to prevent disease, brainwashed pediatricians insist that it is unwise and a health risk to have unvaccinated children. The fact is, the vaccines have been a hoax from their inception." Contrary to popular belief, the scientific community is not 100% behind mandated vaccination laws in the United States. Thus, you have a consensus of thought rather than solid scientific evidence supporting vaccine mandates, which, for a lack of a better term, translates into junk science. Real scientists and real science tell us that artificial immunity, aka vaccination, is an emperor with no clothes on. He says, "What if I were to take some mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, antifreeze, and live viruses cultured in dead animal tissue, mix them together with some peanut butter, and spread it on a piece of bread for my children to eat for a snack? Would you think I was a good parent? What if I were to tell you this will keep them from getting sick? Would you question my sanity? The odds are that I would be arrested for child abuse. However, when doctors inject our kids with the same ingredients, minus the bread and peanut butter, and tell us this will keep them from getting sick, Most of us don't even give it a second thought. What if you call your family physician and tell them you are going to inject your baby with mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and that you were wondering what the safe dosage was for those ingredients? Well, right after he calls Child Protective Services, he will probably call the police. You see, there is no safe dosage because these are all lethal substances that are also potentially carcinogenic. But mercury derivatives, aluminum, formaldehyde are ingredients in most vaccines. So how is it possible that they are safe? Well, the answer depends on who is injecting them. If you or I inject our child with mercury or formaldehyde, we are going to jail. But if a pharmaceutical company and doctor inject the same toxic poisons, then they are perfectly safe. What's wrong with this picture? Unfortunately, most Americans follow the masses, believe what we're told, don't ask questions, and place blind faith in our doctors. With every child on the planet a potential required recipient of multiple vaccines, and with every healthcare system and government a potential buyer, it is a little wonder that billions of dollars are spent nurturing the vaccine industry. Thus, the posters on the wall at the doctor's office. Without public outcry, we will see more and more new vaccines required of us and our children. And while profits are readily calculable, the real human costs are being ignored. According to Dr. James Shannon, former director of the National Institute of Health, reported in December of 2003, he says the only safe vaccine is one that is never used. So I tell you this today, not to offer medical advice, but rather to open your eyes to reality, to encourage you to ask questions, do research, and speak up. Just because a hospital posts a flyer in the exam room that announces that vaccines are one of the era's greatest health achievements does not mean it is true. Consider the source. Follow the money. Think for a moment, how does this actually work? Who has what to gain? What do I have to lose? So back to the HMS Pinafore by Gilbert and Sullivan. Things are seldom what they seem. Skim milk masquerades as cream. Black sheep dwell in every fold. All that glitters is not gold. Storks turn out to be but logs. Bulls are but inflated frogs. So they be frequently. The pharmaceutical industry is wreaking havoc on our health. Drugs promoted on TV and magazines. Drugs, drugs, drugs. I'm Pat Rulo with a new line of essential oils called Tiny Drops. Essential oils are powerful and concentrated plant essences. And just one tiny drop can have noticeable health benefits. No pills and no nasty side effects. Take charge of your health. Tiny Drops. Big results. Visit tinydropseo.com.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
I recently had the pleasure to interview Tracy Andraghetti, a USA Today best-selling author of the Frankie Amato Mysteries and the Danger Cove Hair Salon Mysteries. If you love cocktails, color, and crime with an Italian twist, who wouldn't? You'll love her books with delicious titles such as Limoncello Yellow, Prosecco Pink, Amber Amaretto, or A Poison Manicure and Peach Liqueur. You can check out all of her titles at the website TracyAndraghetti.com. Tracy, it's T-R-A-C-I. Andraghetti is A-N-D-R-I-G-H-E TTITracyAndraghetti.com. If you love mysteries, you'll love Tracy. That's TracyAndraghetti.com.
Hi there. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, the voice of Mrs. Green on the airwaves, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. We love to educate, inspire, and engage people about things like the faceless villain of climate change and lots of other topics that I know will interest you. Our guests will fill you up with hope, possibility, and ways that you can make a difference in your everyday life and that will make a difference for this great planet of ours. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and to become a part of our world.
Well, you've heard me talk about cats in the past. For some reason, I have 13 of them, 13 rescue cats that we now take care of. So I have a question for you. Do you work long hours and leave bored cats at home? Or are you planning a business trip or a vacation? Cats Inn on the Chagrin. It's a cage-free overnight boarding or a daycare option for working or traveling cat owners. That's right. No one is ever caged. We don't even have any. It's located in Chardon, Ohio, and I personally offer personal and expert care 24/7. So check out Cats Inn on the Chagrin. It's all spelled out. Cats Inn, and that's I-N-N, like a hotel. Cats Inn on the Chagrin, C-H-A-G-R-I-N. Cats Inn on the Chagrin.com. You can also find a link at my 11catsradio.com website. Or if you're interested to talk more about it and explore this option for you and your cat, give me a call, 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. Cats Inn on the Chagrin.com. It's the boarding and daycare choice your cat would ask for if your cat could talk. All right, we are out of time. Please come back next week where I will have more goodies to share with you. Same time, same place, but you know me, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Whether looking to sell your home at top market value or searching for your dream home at a competitive price, the McCaskey team can help. As the top producing real estate team in Geauga County and Northeast Ohio, the McCaskey team knows what it takes to guide you through the home buying and selling process. How do I know this? They sold my mom's home in less than a week, so I have firsthand experience. They are a part of BMAX traditions, so give my friends, Dan or Terry, the opportunity to help you too. They're located on Chardon Square at 139 Main Street. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. That is 440-773-5542. Or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com.